Hey, do you prefer to find the joy in life, or do you just want some help with that? If so, you're in the right place. So come on in and join the Joy Bunny clan. This is the My Slice of Life podcast. Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of the My Slice of Life podcast. Thank you very much for joining me this week. This is the bonus for season 4, which was a little bit different to my usual sort of stuff. It was a season where I asked what's so super about the supernatural. Not something I've done before. Very different from my usual, like I said. I may return to that in the future or something similar. I have a few ideas that I would like to work on later. Anyway, for this bonus, I thought it would be fun just to do a quick rundown of some movies to go along with the topic. A lot of these we have on DVD. Yeah, we are old school here. So I thought I'd let you know, what it says in the cover, what I thought of it, you know, that kind of thing. I've also found some movies which are now on my to-watch list, and one or two which are definitely going on my don't-even-think-about-watching-this list. There is one here which I will tell you about, and I only saw, I think it was the trailer on YouTube, I couldn't believe how bad it was, so I'll bring that to you. Oh my, why do some people bother? I don't know. In case you've missed this season, where have you been? Don't know, but anyway, the topics I covered, we've done vampires, shimmer beings, werewolves, ghosts, shadow people, Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, mermaids, Mothman, and angels. That's what I've been talking about over the last 10 weeks. And I've discovered our DVD collection covers more of these topics than others, so I've had to go to the old interweb zones for some, and there are some topics I just couldn't find a decent film to share with you at all. I'd think it'd be easy, but some of it I was like, oh, okay, not so simple. So let's get started. Grab your popcorn and get comfy. Right, see, when it comes to vampires, you're not stuck for a movie, are you? I mean, there's thousands of them. But I've got three in particular that I do like. And these are not in order. There's one here that I keep going back to. But I'm going to start with Fright Night. Now, hang on, just to prove. This is actually the DVD. Fright Night. It's the Colin Farrell version. This has got a 15 rating. You know how they rate it. It just says it's got strong gore and language. So this is from 2012. On the back it says, meet the sexy new neighbour, Jerry Dandridge, that's Colin Farrell, dangerously charming and utterly lethal. That's because he just happens to be a vampire and out for blood, buckets of it. After high school senior Charlie Brewster makes the connection between Jerry's suspicious activity and a steadily rising body count, he vows to end the reign of terror next door. But he can't do it alone. Of course not. Okay, I'm ad-libbing a bit. His only hope is Las Vegas magician slash vampire slayer Peter Vincent, played brilliantly, by the way, by David Tennant. I love David Tennant in this, and I'm not even a big fan of his. Together, this unlikely duo set out to end Jerry's evil rampage, but Jerry is a ruthless, relentless killer, and he's not going down without a fight. Get set to sink your teeth into this thrilling revamp of the terrifying horror classic. I have to say, the first time I watched this, there were a few jump scares which actually got me, and there's enough comedy in it that I just love it. I really enjoyed this one. It's got, oh, now who's she again? I'm seeing this woman on the back. Toni Collette. I'm really good with names and faces, as you can tell. See, when I watch a movie with my husband, I'm an absolute nightmare. I go, is he, you know, the guy out of that thing that drives him mental? And I'm never right. Well, he says I'm never right. I think I am. So there you go, that's Fright Night. If you haven't seen it and you like a little bit of bite to your movies, get it. That's a really good one. Now, another one in the vampire genre that I really like, I told you I had a favourite, Dracula Untold. Have you seen this? Right, when did this come out? I wish I'd make the date a bit more obvious and put the writing so blimmin' small. Okay, got it, 2014. On the back, it says, men don't fear swords, they fear monsters. The year is 1462. Transylvania enjoys peace under the rule of Vlad III, and his beloved wife Marina, but a war with the Turks and a pact with a demon are about to change Vlad's life forever. Now, it stars Dominic Cooper, Charles Dance. Dracula Untold is a thrilling action adventure that heralds a pulse-pounding rebirth of the Age of Monsters and the origin story of the legendary immortal we have come to fear as the sun sets, Dracula. And I really like this because it doesn't give you the same old, he lives in a castle and he's always been drinking blood. They've really put some thought into it, it's got a good story to it, the plot's excellent. I highly recommend this one if you haven't seen it again. I've got the DVD, actually I might watch that later. Quite fancy seeing it again. And prepare yourself for me hitting the mic a lot with these as I'm trying to move about. And the third one that I have for you in the vampire genre is Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Now, I can't find the disc for this, so I've gone on to IMDb, and the storyline bit there says, at the age of 9, Abraham Lincoln witnesses his mother being killed by a vampire. 10 years later, he unsuccessfully tries to eliminate this vamp, I'm ad-libbing again, but in the process makes the acquaintance of Henry Sturgis, who teaches him how to fight and what is required to kill a vampire. The quid pro quo is that Abe will kill only those vampires that Henry directs him to. Abe relocates to Springfield, where he gets a job as a store clerk while he studies the law and kills vampires by night. He also meets and eventually marries the pretty Mary Todd. Many years later, as President of the United States, he comes to realise that the vampires are fighting with the Confederate forces. As a result, he mounts his own campaign to defeat them. Again, I like this one because they're taking a historical story and putting an entirely new spin on it. A bit like the Dracula Untold one, where, you know, I've covered it in the vampire episode, Vlad did exist, they've put a whole spin on it. Here, obviously, Abraham Lincoln was a real guy, and they've put a whole new spin to his story. So that's why I really liked it. It's well done, well acted. You know, you're going to get a lot of really cool fight scenes in these movies. I just like the way they do them. I think it's a well worth a watch. Again, if you like vampire films and you haven't seen it, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. The name says it all. You can't go wrong, can you? Now, for Shimmer people, I really struggled. I went on to, like I say, the interweb zones, and I had a whole look around, and the best example I can really come up with is an oldie, and you've probably all seen it. Predator, 1987. The storyline, you all know, you've got your team of your special force guys being led by tough Major Dutch Schaefer. That's, you know, they're going in to assist the CIA guy on a rescue mission looking for survivors of some helicopter he said was downed over a remote South American jungle. But not long after they land, Dutch and his team discover that they've been sent in under false pretenses, and it turns out that they are being hunted by something not of this world. And the reason I'm putting it in for the Shimmer people thing is when you see it cloaked, that's what people see when they see a Shimmer being. If you haven't listened to the episode on Shimmer beings, I would urge you to do so because I have a bit of a personal story in there. So if you want to know what it's like to see a Shimmer being, go back and rewatch Predator. I'm sure you've all seen it before. I mean, it was 1987. We've all seen it. But that's the closest I could get for that. Now we come on to one of my favourite topics. And it's funny, I say that, and I'm just thinking, my God, for years and years and years, I was just a vampire fan, and that was it. Something has changed, and I am a huge fan of the wolf and werewolves. So, yeah, I'm talking werewolves. My favourite film, again, if you've listened to previous episodes, you would know this, is Dog Soldiers. If you haven't seen it, it's a really tricky one to discuss in these terms because it's called Dog Soldiers. It's known as a werewolf film, but it says that on the cover. On the back, I've got the disc. This is my second disc, and I had it on video as well, but I still refer to DVDs as video. I am that old. Right, where are we? A band of British soldiers are sent to the Scottish Highlands on a special training manoeuvres. Actually, when they filmed it, a bit behind the scene news, it wasn't in Scotland. I think they were in Norway or somewhere Scandinavian. Their biggest worry, stuck in the middle of nowhere, and missing a vital England v Germany World Cup qualifier. Things take a turn for the worse when they stumble upon Captain Ryan, who appears to be the sole survivor of a special operations team that were literally torn to pieces. Ryan refuses to disclose the secret behind his mission, even though whoever or whatever ate his men seems hungry for seconds. Help arrives in the form of local girl, Megan, who shelters them in a deserted farmhouse deep in the forest. But when they realise that it's home to a pack of blood-lusting werewolves, it's apparent their nightmare has just begun. Can they hold out until first light? How much ammunition do they have left? Who is Captain Ryan? And more importantly, did England beat Germany? Do you know, I think that's the first time I've actually read the back of that cover. And that does not do the film justice at all. I'm reading that and I'm thinking, as I'm reading it to you, my brain's actually telling me this can't be the same film. This actually sounds a bit crap. But it's my favourite film. I would write a better one than that. Anyway, the cast is fantastic. I have raved on about this film before. It is only a 15, age 15 guide on the back. Cast is great. Music is brilliant. They used, if I remember right, they used dancers to play the wolves because they wanted the movements to be a certain way. So it's actually dancers that they've used for that, which I found amazing. There's one spoiler for me, and that is the woman that's in it. I don't know her name. Is it probably on the back of here somewhere? Written in that tiny little writing that you can't even read. No, I can't find her. She's the only thing that puts a dampener on it for me. Sean Pertwee's in it. Liam Cunningham's in it. Kevin McKidd is in it. He was in Trainspotting. He was also in Rome, if you ever saw. Did you see Rome, that TV show, two series thing? I loved that as well. It's funny. It's dramatic. I've seen this, goodness almost how many times, and I'm still on the edge of my seat going, run, boy. Actually, in our house, I'll need to tell you, I've said it before, but in our house, this is actually called short controlled bursts. And if you've seen it, you'll know why. So that's my favourite film, and it's a werewolf film, Dog Soldiers. But I did have a look for some other ones, and I came up with a list. Oh man. There's a Norwegian one called Viking Wolf, which I haven't seen yet, but I want to see that. There's one called Eight for Silver, but it's also known as The Cursed. I did try and see this one. It's called Wolf Manor. It's a British comedy, apparently. It's got another name. I can't remember what it was. I couldn't find it under Wolf Manor. I found it under... It's something like The Scream of the Wolf. I think it was The Scream of the Wolf. Husband and I tried to watch it last night. Now, normally, when the Brits do horror comedy, they're pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of comedy in Dog Soldiers. They are good films. This Wolf Manor or Scream of the Wolf, don't even bother. I think we maybe watched 20, 25 minutes, maybe even half an hour, and I looked at my husband and he looked at me and I was like, this is crap, isn't it? I mean, this is the biggest lot that we've seen in a while. So we hid it. We didn't even watch it. It was awful. Don't waste your time. So that's the werewolf movies. Now, what's next? So the next section is ghosts. I did not really pick a ghosty film. There's so many. I couldn't decide really what would count as just ghosts, or do you go down the road of really paranormal type of stuff, in which case you could do worse than The Exorcism of Emily Rose. I think I've seen that film twice. I never want to see it again. I discovered, actually going through our DVDs, that we have what we probably class as horror films, but they tend to verge on zombie. My husband kind of likes a slasher type film. I'm not so keen on them, but we have a lot of zombie ones. We have werewolves, we have vampires, but the ones that are like The Exorcism of Emily Rose, we don't have so much of, and we used to, but they kind of freak us out. Well, they freak me out. I know my husband isn't keen on that kind of stuff. And especially when things like I say, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and they say it's based on a true story, I don't like that. It creeps me out. We have had enough creepy stuff going on in our lives at various points. I don't need to be encouraging it in. And they do say that if you watch, have you heard of this? They say if you watch a lot of like the real paranormal stuff, you're practically inviting it into your life. I think that's why I prefer the more unbelievable stuff or the more kind of out there films. I don't want to know about people's traumatic events into the paranormal. I just don't want to invite that in. So to be on the safe side, there was a time that I watched it all, but now I don't. I just tend to stay away from it. Okay, if you're interested, The Exorcism of Emily Rose was out in 2005. Didn't think it was as old as that. It's a 15, and the storyline, again, I'm on IMDb, just says, when a young girl called Emily Rose dies, everyone puts blame on the exorcism which was performed on her by Father Moore prior to her death. The priest is arrested on suspicion of murder. The trial begins with lawyer Erin Bruner representing Moore, but it's not going to be easy as no one wants to believe what the father says is true. I think it's because of that film I now have this fear of 3:15 a.m. If you ever watch the film, if you've seen it, you'll know what I mean. A few of the horror films have used this sort of time. Even if I wake up at night and I'm needing the toilet, I won't get up. I'll wait till 4 o'clock. I'm not going. So that's how much they freak me out, so I'm not watching it. So let's go. Next. What's next? Shadow people was the next topic. I couldn't find a decent one about shadow people, if I'm honest. Same with Bigfoot. There are Bigfoot films out there. They look horrendously bad. If you do know of a good one, I would like to hear about it, but I couldn't find one. Now, this brings me to my don't even bother watching this one. Loch Ness. I thought, I wonder if there is. I know they did like a kids film years back and they had the premiere in Inverness and Ted Danson was there and whoever else. I remember that because I was in the streets trying to get photographs of them. I got a photograph of him. I got a photograph of Bob Geldof, who was there for some reason. I have no idea what he was doing. He wasn't raising money, so I don't know why he was there. So I went on to YouTube and I found a trailer for a film called The Loch Ness Horror. I'm actually stuck for words on this. I watched the trailer and I thought, is this a joke? I genuinely thought it was a joke, or I thought it was somebody had made one for a laugh, you know, with a wee plastic toy or something in the bath. That's what it looked like to me. And then I was reading the comments and I thought, oh, this is an actual film. Somebody made this and put it out. This is the trailer. One of the comments on YouTube actually said something like, when your imagination is bigger than your budget, it's an embarrassment. If you're a masochist, go and watch the trailer. If you like inflicting pain on yourself, this is the trailer and probably the movie for you. I wouldn't watch more than that trailer. That was awful. So skip it. I can't find a decent Loch Ness monster or Nessie film. Same with mermaids. I know there are mermaid films out there. I saw a trailer or a clip of one, a guy in a swimming pool and gets attacked by this mermaid in the pool. Of course, the girlfriend's at the edge of the pool and she can't see the mermaid. I mean, it just looked ridiculous. So I didn't even bother with that. But that brings me to Mothman. And the film, of course, is The Mothman Prophecies. This has Richard Gere and Laura Linney in it. I've just realised I haven't actually been telling you who's in all of these movies, but we'll just skip over that, can we? Laura Linney is in this one, and she is also in The Exorcism of Emily Rose, actually. She plays the lawyer. I remember that. I like her films. If you go back and listen to the episode I did on The Mothman, you'll get the background story. But the storyline of the movie, this again, I'm taking this from IMDb. We do have the DVD. I can't find it at the moment. We have quite a few DVDs and they're not in any real order. I keep trying to sort them out. It's a nightmare. So this says, John Klein, who is played by Richard Gere, is involved in a car accident with his wife. But while he is unharmed, his wife mentions a moth-shaped creature appearing. After her death, John begins to investigate the secrets behind this mentioned Mothman. It takes him to the small town of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where he discovers a connection with the same problem. Here he meets Connie Mills, which is played by Laura Linney, while he continues to unravel the mystery of what the Mothman really is. I actually really enjoyed this movie. I think it's well acted. I mean, you've got Richard Gere and Laura Linney. They can act anything, I think. I like them. Well worth a watch if you want to go and have a look at that if you haven't already seen it. That brings me to the last topic, which was angels. The episode I did was on the Cokeville Miracle, and there's a movie of that. It came out in 2015. Tells the story of it. I didn't know any of the actors in that movie. I don't know if it was like made for TV or whatever. It just seemed maybe it's just because I'm over in the UK and maybe it was a bigger deal in America. I really don't know. Well worth a watch, that one. I really enjoyed it. That's when I heard about the whole Cokeville Miracle. And then I had a look, are there any other angel movies? And yet there are a lot, but there's two that we have that I wanted to just give a quick mention. The first one is Constantine, and I hadn't put the connection together because one is ages since I've seen it. It's Keanu Reeves' movie. On the back, again, we have the DVD. It says, John Constantine sees demons walk the earth and he aims to do something about it. Send them back to hell. As Constantine, Keanu Reeves fights a new otherworld foe in this eye-opening supernatural action thriller based on characters from the DC Comics, that's Vertigo, Hellblazer, graphic novels, and set in a city of the angels where spirit world bounds have broken and all hell is breaking loose. Holy water, dragon's breath, flamethrower, a shotgun crafted from a crucifix. Armed with these and assisted by an intrepid cop, played by Rachel Weisz, John Constantine is a spiritual warrior gone to apocalyptic war. Be glad he's on your side. It's actually a really good film. A little, you know, scary enough for me in places. I haven't watched it for ages. It was actually our son who said, Angels, remember that one? So, Angels, not in the way you would expect to see them, but still, it's a reference, so I wanted to bring it to you. And that brings me to the last one. Again, angel movie. Who could forget? It's a Wonderful Life. We've all seen it, and it's a while since I've seen it. A real Christmas, feel-good family film. And it makes me think, would the world be a nicer place if we watched Christmas movies throughout the rest of the year? You know how at Christmas time we sit down and we watch something like It's a Wonderful Life and everybody gets, you know, we all get that kind of, that emotion, that warmth, that whole, isn't the world brilliant? Isn't life just such a wonderful thing? Would it feel like that all the time if we watched these movies every month and not just in December? Just a thought. And that, my friends, brings us to the end of this bonus episode. I hope you've enjoyed that. I really hope there's a few movies there that you can go and watch or re-watch. If you've seen all of them, I apologise, but I do hope I've brought you at least one new one or reminded you of some of the good oldies. You'll notice the ones I pick, they're not new ones. I can't do the new films at all. I just think what's being produced right now is a lot of rubbish. You have to go to the older ones to see anything decent. That's just the way it is just now. I am hopeful that that will change and, you know, good new movies. I mean, there are a few good ones, but you have to wade through a lot of garbage, don't you, to find a decent one. Anyway, I'm not going to go on a rant. I promised myself I wouldn't, about the current state of entertainment and movies and so on. Thank you very much if you've made it this far. I really do appreciate it. Next week is the start of season 5 and I have something completely different. I have said over and over again, this is not a paranormal channel. I just did that topic for a bit of fun and for something totally different. And I kind of feel like the angels involved in the Cokeville miracle have pulled another miracle because since doing that episode, something very, very strange has happened to my podcast. And I mean, I was used to just having a couple of downloads, you know, or, you know, one or two here, maybe 4 or 5 there. I didn't expect much more than that. But since putting out that episode about the Cokeville miracle, quite a few more people have been coming over and checking things out, which is fantastic. I'm so grateful. And yes, it does feel like a miracle because I've been doing this for nearly a year. And suddenly people are finding it. But then I had a slight panic attack because I was thinking, what if everybody coming here now thinks, oh, I found a paranormal channel, which, you know, every episode I've been saying, I'm not a paranormal channel. I'm not. I'm just doing it for one season. So that's that. So that was the miracle that happened for me this week. So if you are one of those new listeners, I would just like to say thank you very much for your company. That was amazing. Very unexpected. So like I say, the next season is something completely different. So I do hope you'll all stick around for that. And I look forward to bringing you a whole load of new topics as the months go on. But until then, friends, you take care of your wee self.